This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Johnson plugs it in for Aidan Flynn!
Gregory is in the box, tries to screw him. Is it going to be there? Yes! Oh my word! It's in!
You're listening to the number one pod for Sheffield Wednesday. This is the Wednesday Till I Die podcast.
Ole, 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 ole. Ogbo, Ogbo. The song may be shit, but I don't care. If the ball's 6 yards out, I don't think I'd want anyone else on the end other than Ogbo at the moment. Hello and welcome to the Wednesday Till I Die podcast. I'm James Mappin, and with me once again is Neil. Neil, you all right, mate?
Yes, I'm very good, thank you. How are yourself?
Yeah, I'm all good. Obviously, you didn't disgrace yourself too much last week, so we've got you back on again this week. how's things your end? All good. I mean, you know, last time we spoke, obviously last week, we've done another win. Like again, I said last week, we can't stop winning, and that's carried on into this week, hasn't it?
Well, that's it. I think I might get my ticket until we lose. I think it's a bit like Joe Cran, isn't it, going to that away games and stuff. Excellent result again. 3 on the spin, 4 out of 5. Yeah. Looking good at the minute. Looking good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've kind of broke my away day duck. Obviously, I don't get to too many away games. This season, Huddersfield, which obviously we'll not talk about. Leeds was another one. Obviously, I like to stick in the Yorkshire region. You know what I mean? I can't be let out too far from my home. I was at Rotherham. I think before Leeds. I'm not counting Wembley because, all right, it's away, but it's away for both sides. The one before that with Peterborough. Yeah. That was another 4-0, obviously. There was a win, Shrewsbury. I went to Shrewsbury 3-0, but nothing really riding on that game. They weren't much on it. And then I think before that, a draw at Derby, that boring 0-0 game. A draw at Bolton as well. I think that was the season before. So, yeah. My away days aren't brilliant. And I was thinking as well, obviously this season, and if you include Peterborough last season, not even seeing us score a goal. So we did a goal and we did a win. So I think I've got that monkey off my back. I thought I would, again. It's mad, isn't it, how... Why do you, as people, attribute things to like bad luck? It's when I post on Twitter about like, oh, we've not lost in 6 years or whatever it is at whatever ground, and then people go, oh, you fucking said it now. I mean, I know they're probably saying it in jest, but it doesn't mean anything, you know. The words don't mean anything. It's like wearing your lucky pants or whatever. Like it doesn't actually mean anything. But do you have any sort of like superstitions or anything like? Or are you a superstitious person?
Not really, I wouldn't have said. No, not to be honest. I can't say I have, to be honest. No, it's like you say, though, it's, you know, it's like when you know, when they always mention the Q word when you're at work, oh, it's a bit quiet today. Oh, you've said it. Now it's going to get busier and all this. So, you know, it's, yeah, I know what you're saying. They are only words, but I think I even said it last week, you know, Charity FC coming to town and Rotherham will sneak a win. But thankfully that work proved correctly. But sounds like you just need a passport out of Yorkshire for some of your away games anyway.
Well, I know exactly, but we'll see. There's a few more left in this season. We'll see what happens. In terms of like superstitions, I'm not really that superstitious in that I know it doesn't actually mean anything, but I can remember when I was younger, Football Manager or Champ Manager, as it was, you know, back like, you know, early 2000s. I can remember that I always used to put a certain song on as I was playing a game, because I always felt that we always won. And it's like, again, that has no bearing on it whatsoever, because I didn't win every game and I did lose some, but I just felt like if I didn't play, we're never going to win. But yeah, we'll talk about the, I'm calling it a away day, but it's not really an away day, is it? Because it's actually closer to my home than it is Hillsborough, the New York Stadium. First time I've been. Do you know what? In all honesty, I know we joke about it being a shed and all that and everything else that we were singing, but it's actually a tidy little ground, you know, for what they are as a club, you know. I mean, is it old 13,000 or something like that? It's very much cookie cutter, you know. I think if you're just painting it seats blue, you could probably think you were at the, you know, Chesterfield ground, to be honest. It just, you know, they do look very, very similar, but I thought it were decent. What's your take on those sorts of grounds? Do you prefer a Hillsborough that's like, you know, got character, or do you not mind these kind of bowl grounds that just look the same all the way around?
Yeah, I think it's always nice to have a bit of character to them, isn't it? Because, you know, Hillsborough's obviously quite famous as, well, sometimes for the wrong reasons, but historically, like when FA Cup semi-finals used to be at Hillsborough and, you know, all these historical grounds. But then, you know, you can look at the other side of the coin now where I think everybody was saying that we wanted to try and draw Tottenham in the Cup, because apparently their new stadium's, you know, fantastic. But and they've moved from White Hart Lane, which were quite a compact ground. West Ham moved to that bigger stadium, and theirs were used to be a really Upton Park with a right compact ground and stuff. So yeah, there's sort of two sides to both sort of things, isn't it? But yeah, I think,
what do you prefer though, Neil? Like, don't sit on the fence. What do you prefer?
I'd prefer Hillsborough. I mean, it needs a bit of a lick of paint and stuff, but, you know, I'd certainly prefer that over one of these prefab
Derby County, that just pop up and, Derby County, yeah. Middlesbrough, Southampton. They're, you know, they're fairly big grounds, but they're just the same all the way around, aren't they? I just wish we'd fill corners in and use that corner, you know, in between West Stand and North Stand. I wish we could do something like that at Hillsborough, to be honest. But probably, you know, we can't even use the seats that we've got, let alone use seats that we haven't got. So yeah, I mean, I walked into New York Stadium and you know, I knew I was kind of near the corner when you look at where your seat is in the gangway and what have you. What I didn't think I were at, like, bang next to the netting that stops, you know, that segregates the two sets of fans. And I'm not one of them that's, you know, starts just gesticulating to other fans and stuff like that. However, I realised there's a hell of a lot of football fans that don't actually go to watch the match. There were people sat around me, or stood around me, should I say. I think if you ask them now what happened in that game, they probably won't be able to tell you, but they'd be able to tell you exactly what that kid were wearing, sat in Omen and what have you. Because I mean, it were funny. I've got to admit, you know, some of the banter going between, you know, the sets of fans and everything. And what were even more funnier were that there were a couple of kids who can't be, you know, much older than, you know, 16, 17, and they were giving it large. And then about 10 minutes into the game, because they were getting a bit irate, stewards went up, told them off after that. Didn't hear a peep. It was like they'd been told off by the dad. You know what I mean? They just sat down, and that were it. They weren't saying a thing. I mean, when, obviously, we'll talk about the disallowed goal, there was rumours, well, very, very strong rumours, that there were a lot of Wednesday in that Rotherham home end. And, yeah, when that goal went in that were disallowed, they got the marching orders. They got marched out, which were funny. You know, I mean, do you know what? I wouldn't be able to do that, Neil. I know it happens a lot, and I know there's probably people listening to this that do it. We've all, you know, best intentions. Not everyone that goes in the home end are going for a scrap. They just trying to get a ticket for a game that they can't get in away end. the way that I am, and you know, people that listen to the, you know, those the episodes that I do from the game and everything, where you hear my emotions at the match, I could not go to a football game and sit on my hands and not set at least something that would give it away that I'm a Wednesday fan.
Yeah, it's hard work. I've done it once at Leicester game away when we won 4-1 back in the day. Chris Brunt, Glenn Whelan, and they scored all them. I went with a mate who was a Leicester supporter, so you know I were on my own in terms of being a Wednesday supporter, and there were like 3,500 Wednesdayites in corner, and then we just kept scoring these bangers, and I'm like, oh, you know, sat on my hands and. You know, giving me mate a few little jabs in the rib, going, "Oh, get in there!" But yeah, that were very frustrating because they were all crackers as well. But yeah, good. Yeah, it's not ideal, but yeah, I think like you said, I think some of them probably go just to get a ticket. And unfortunately, you know, if 2,000 or I don't know how many you saw jump up when the goal were disallowed, but yeah, I'm sure they got the marching orders.
Yeah, exactly, but. Yeah, it was all good in the end. Like I said, and another away day ticked off, another ground that I've not been to before. let's talk about the match then. How did you feel going into this game on Saturday? Because for me, I were nervous. I'm not gonna say I weren't. It was I was nervous because. Yeah, as you mentioned last week, Charity FC. It always happens when you feel like you should win, you never do. And I felt that Rotherham didn't have much to play for in terms of league position. They're down. Let's be honest. We needed a miracle end of last season. What's the next thing from a miracle? I've no idea. But that's exactly what Rotherham need to stay up, and it's just never going to happen. So they didn't have anything to play for really. So they could have just gone out and just, you know, had a go. And you know, and I just felt that, yeah, I could just picture as. Not winning that game. I don't know about you.
Yeah, same as you. I were a bit nervous, apprehensive about it. I thought, like we said last week, you know, potential banana skin. It's just got one of them games as we've discussed before. Like just being a Wednesday, we've been playing well and we've been doing really good, and then all of a sudden you just mess it up. Pretty much like the Huddersfield game, really. I was probably more confident going into that game than I was this game. Mm. Like you say, Rotherham had nothing to lose, unfortunately for us, we've maintained that consistency and performance and got the result. Yeah, it could have been a few more goals than what it was, but I think we fully deserved the win for sure.
Yeah, in terms of starting lineup, then us was free. One change for me were for the suspended Bernard, so it was a forced change that we had to make. So it was Beadle in goal, Valentin, Palmer, Equa, Famewo and Johnson, Volks, Bannon, Paveda, Ugbo and Masaba. What did you make to that? It's pretty much unchanged, isn't it? It was a forced change that he had to make. He couldn't not make that change because of that suspension. So it's three games now where we've played that settled side. What did you think?
Yeah, minimal changes. I think it's been effective. It's been good. We've got that consistency. I think he can't really change it that much because of them performances that we've put in. We obviously won three on the bounce now. I were a bit surprised Famewo came in all honesty, because he worked sort of in the squad last week, I don't think, was he? And then I thought that Domi Orfa would have come in. But then I've sort of thought about it and gone, well, Famewo's left-footed, left-sided centre-back. It kind of brought that balance to that back line. I was more kind of a bit apprehensive about Iekwa not playing, because in press conference he said he were a bit of a doubt.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, obviously we had to make one change with Bernard and I didn't want two changes, because then that would have been, you know, a bit more sort of detrimental. But I'm glad that Iekwa played again, solid performance. So yeah, I were happy with that. It balanced the team out. I can understand why he played for Maywell. I thought he did well, actually, for Maywell yesterday. He played quite well, and obviously unlucky with his goal that got ruled out.
Yeah, just on that, in terms of Maywell playing, I must admit, I didn't see it. I thought it was going to be one of either Bambo or Iofa. Danny Rill seems to like Bambo for whatever reason, and I just thought he was going to slot him in, to be honest. And I was a bit like thinking, oh, God, could be another red card this today or another mistake, which, you know, it's going to take him a bit of time to kind of shake that kind of that mantra that we've got, or stigma, should I say, attached to him. And yeah, so when I saw that Firmino was starting, I was a little bit of a relief. But like you said as well, I think if we were playing a back four, maybe Bambo would have slotted in there. But the fact that we were playing, you know, with a left-sided centre half, it probably does make sense that Firmino played there. On the game as a whole, Neil, it's just a massive win, and for me, it's just I finished with more relief more than anything. I think that's mainly because of how the other results were going as well. You know, you're thinking, Christ, even if we'd have got a draw, and then you think you would have slipped two points to seemingly every single other team that's down there at the bottom. So it was just a fight of like, yes, we've kept that run going, we've kept the momentum going, and you know we can keep building, because obviously I was in the ground. I actually got signal as well. Obviously, not as many fans and everything like that. My phone were working, so I was getting the goal notifications coming through. I'm sure you were exactly the same, and seeing that all the other teams were winning around us, it's like, oh, it was just so annoying, weren't it?
Yeah. I mean, like you say, last couple of weeks, you know, if you'd have said we've won three games on bounce, we'd probably have been out of relegation. But again, we're still second bottom and we haven't moved. But the points have got closer, even though them other teams have still got points. So it's just crazy, isn't it? I think that if you look at the league from league table after yesterday's results, it's really concertinaed quite a lot of teams very, very close to us. Like you said, I think Rotherham are gone, and it's brought, I think we're only about four or five points off 15th or something ridiculous. It's really, really brought it close together. So yeah, you know, thankfully, yes, I like you, relieved that final whistle went, you know, after another 7.5 minutes of added time, and we get the 3 points. Yes, we don't jump above anybody or jump out of that bottom three, but we certainly keep that pressure on them, because and we just need to win. We just need to keep that momentum, because the teams above us surely can't keep just winning all the time. It's just not right, that.
I mean, we'll drill into some of the more specifics of like the game in a second, but that first half, Neil, we absolutely battered Rotherham. There were times where they couldn't even get ball out of their own half. You know, they were going long. I think their game plan was, I said before the game, I thought they were going to make it a battle, and I think they did. You know, they were dragging us down, you know, left, right and centre. They didn't put any, I wouldn't say there were any fruity tackles that were flying in, but certainly the dark arts were at show, you know, the holding on to. I mean, Ugbo, I think he swapped shirts after about 10 minutes with their defender. You know, he definitely wanted that shirt off him. We were dragging him down, not letting him pass, which, yeah, I get that's kind of part of football, but you know, they certainly had a game plan, and I spoke before and I said that we needed to just to stick to ours, and I thought that the quality had shined through, and some of the football deal that we were playing in that first half were absolutely fantastic, weren't it? That little link up play and 1-2s, little triangles, and I thought Masaba and Pervada especially had all the freedom down both sides, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we started the game really well. It was co-commentary actually on the telly with John Pearson and Ronnie Moore, ex-Rotherham manager, and he was just saying that Rotherham were getting absolutely battered. He says they can't get out of their own half. It was like attack and defence, but we kept the ball, we penetrated at the right times, we made the got in behind their fullbacks countless times in that first half. Masaba were certainly an upgrade on his 5 out of 10 performance from last week, and he seemed to be on it. And just that link up play and that, how we didn't go in 3 or 4 nil up at half time, I can't scratch my head, to be honest. But yeah, definitely overall deserved to win. Dominant first half. Like, I mean, I don't know what the chat were like at the ground, but you're scratching your head thinking how we're not in front of you. Obviously, we thought we were in front, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But, you know, how we were 2 or 3 goals up in that first half, I'll never know. But, you know, we were. And, like you say, a dogged performance second half, because they did sort of improve. And at end of day, clean sheets win your games, and you only need one goal. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, I was really impressed though in that first half, just how relentless it was. It was just like wave after wave after wave. And I think now, yeah, like you said, Masaba's had a better performance seemingly. Only wants to play when he's away from home. You know, Millwall away, a great performance. Rotherham away as well, and he was starting to use that pace that he's got as well. I know we spoke last week about, you know, just knock it past him. He wasn't quite doing that, but just again, once you've beat your opposing number at least once, especially if you do it early on, then you're onto a winner really, because they're just going to be panicking. And if you beat them again, then that's it. The manager's going to be starting trying to make changes to try and combat that. And I think, you know, Liam Richardson were going apoplectic at someone at some point, because Pervada, I mean, they started doubling up on Pervada in that first half, and I think they clearly changed something in the second, because Pervada didn't really get in the game in the second half. But certainly in the first, he was going mad at how much space he were allowed, and there were times where there were even three men around him and he still danced past him or won a foul. So it was just great to see. I mean, obviously they were kicking towards the away fans in the first half as well, and it was literally like they were just camped in that Rotherham half for the full 45 minutes. I can't really remember Rotherham having much of a chance in that first half. But yeah, he just on the whole context of the game as a whole, it's like chalk and cheese what we're seeing, you know, from early on in the season to where we are now. And like you said, he was obviously three wins on the bounce. It's four wins out of his last five. I think if you look at the form, we're third for the last five games. There's only Ipswich and Leeds, who, ironically, we play after Plymouth in this little run.
Yeah.
There's only those two sides that have picked up more points than us so far this season out of the last five, which is mental. I think if you extend that a bit further, I think QPR are one of the teams that are even higher up, which is a bit of a shame. Certainly for us anyway, but yeah, Neil, what's the reason for this upturn in fortune then? It does seem like January window's shut and we've all of a sudden just gone on a run. It's not just as simple as Pervada and Ugbo, or is it? I don't know.
I don't think it's as simple as that. I think, to be honest, I think the reality check was the Huddersfield game, and I think I mentioned on it last week where they had this meeting afterwards, and Danny Rowles being completely honest with players, I dare say they have with him. And since then, there's just been this sort of flick of a switch, really, where you can obviously see the togetherness when we're playing, when we score a goal, and after the game, the celebration with the players and the supporters and even Danny Rowley's, the togetherness has really sort of solidified in the last month, really, after that Huddersfield game. I think that was kind of like the straw that brought the camel's back, but I think it also adjusted Danny Rowles' outlook on how are we going to tackle this and how are we going to survive. And I think we touched on it last week, and I know that people have a debate show with that little change in formation and that little bit of, drawing some of the experiences from Chris Powell and Pedersen. And we just approached it a little bit differently without changing his overall principles. So I think the change in approach, that squad togetherness, and I think since that Huddersfield game, it's really come together. And obviously that's doubled with the fact that Pervada's come in, Ugbo's now, on fire, and they've had that little bit of extra time to settle in with the squad as well. I think Will Volks did the pre-match interviews during the week, and he mentioned that Pervada's like just slotted straight in there, playing his Colombian music, and you can sense that he's bought into it straight away. So I think that's what the upturn is, really, like from the Huddersfield game, is that there's just been this flick of a switch. We've all rolled the sleeves up, and you've got Bannon, Palmer, that have been there last year, that are the main sort of experienced players from that group,
yeah,
who know what it's about, and it's that. I think that's just it, really. They've literally just come together as a group and gone, we are rolling our sleeves up, and we're going to do this. We're going to stick to those principles. Yeah, we do a few tweaks and a few changes, and he even made a change when he did the subs yesterday, and it's working. So yeah, long may it continue, because I still think we're going to do it.
So. Yeah, I think you're right, really. It was that Huddersfield game. And I think up until that point, maybe he's thinking that everything he's doing is right and he's working towards an end goal. And then that 4-0 loss probably made him think, well, actually, wait a minute, we need some points here. Not that he wasn't looking at the points beforehand, but he probably thought that if we just carry on the way that we're doing, you know, I know Tom on Twitter looks at all these expected points and everything else, and maybe Danny Rill's looking at something similar and thinking, if we just keep playing like this, we'll get enough points to stay up. And then we have a setback like that and you know, another result's not going our way, and the gap, I think, went back to 8 points, I think it was, after the Huddersfield game. So he looks at that and goes, wait a minute, like maybe time's running out, and if I carry on doing what I'm doing, I'm not going to get the points that I'm expected, because you know we're not matched on expected points. We're on reality of where exactly we are, and yeah, I think you're right. It is probably was a reality check. I mean, we spoke last week or a couple of weeks ago saying that result probably knocked him down a peg or two. I don't mean that in a bad way, just in terms of like, wait a minute, like I need to do something different here. And fair play, he has changed it, and he's done it, and he openly admits, you know, what he's changed, gone a little bit more. I don't want to say direct, because I do think we still play, you know, between the lines, but in terms of going from back to front, we're doing it a little bit quicker, and playing in a more effective way, I'd have to say, because well, the results are showing that, aren't they? Really, look, I know the teams that we've beat. The teams that are down there, but look, you can only beat the team that's in front of you, and I don't care who this win comes up against. You know, we've just got to win the games. Let's talk about some of these chances then that we had and everything in the first half in a bit more detail. I mean, Ugbo had a chance fairly early on. You know, Masaba, fantastic work down the left. I thought he actually lost the ball initially, and then I've no idea how he came away with it, but he put the afterburners on, and I don't know who their right back was. It a Doffin or Kiosa? I'm not sure which one it was, but he couldn't chase him. He couldn't live with him. He fell over. I thought the ref were going to give a foul or something at first. You know, that's what normally happens. I mean, it wasn't a foul. He just tripped himself up. And then I know I said at the top that I'd want Ugbo 6 yards out, but Ugbo was 6 yards out, and it was a great stop by their defender that, you know, kind of on the line to block it. I must admit, Neil, I thought we'd scored at that point. When he squared it across, I thought goal.
Yeah, and I think Ugbo actually starts it off. It comes into Ugbo, he lays it into Bannon. Bannon dinks it through to Masaba on the wing. He obviously beats the fullback who, you know, trips over his laces, whatever. And then Ugbo's, as soon as he's laid that ball off, he's like, right, I'm getting in that box.
Yeah,
and then obviously Masaba gets in box, and you know, he did everything right, Ugbo. But yeah, the defender got a great blocking. Really, I thought I were off my chair in middle at night. Obviously, yes. Oh no, it's just wide. But yeah, again, that quick combination as well. Like we said, you just touched on it there a bit, where it's not direct as such, where long ball direct, but it's three or four passes, and we're from the defence through to the other side, and we built in fullbacks. And I think yesterday, as we sort of touched on it earlier, we were Masaba and Pervada beating their fullbacks. And obviously, that's something that Danny Rose highlighted in his analysis, because, I mean, you know what he's like. He's this thorough perfectionist in some way. So it was like bang, 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 through to Masaba. And yeah, I thought it was 1-0, but unfortunately, it wasn't at that stage. But
yeah, it's one of them, I think, Neil, like, if you throw enough shit at the wall, some of it's going to stick. In terms of, if you have enough shots on goal, one of them's going to eventually go in. And you know, you look yesterday, 17 shots we had. I know quite a lot of them were blocked, and we only had 4 shots on target in the end. But again, it's one of those, if you keep... Yes, you can. We could do what Leicester do and just pass it around the back for an age and kind of, you know, have 70-odd% possession. But one, I don't think the fans, you know, I don't think we'd accept that, to be fair. I mean, I know Leicester lost the weekend. I think they lost a few now, but and I'm sure we'd swap where we are in terms of league position. But right now, it is just a case of we need to get the job done, and we need to get the job done as quickly as we possibly can. And that's, you know, if we need the fans on side. How do you do that? Have shots, create chances, and everything. And the fans, naturally, the fans will lift. And you know, throughout that first half, especially, you know, the chance after chance after chance, it were building. And I mean, it did get to the point where you're thinking, are we ever going to score? But at least thinking, you know, at least we're having these chances, as opposed to, you know, on the flip side and Rotherham thinking, Christ, how many goals is it going to be? If you know, it could easily be the opposite way. Volks then had a free kick. I know he had a free kick for the disallowed goal, but this other one, you know, it caught me off guard totally. They only had one man in the wall, and I think that probably made his decision. You know, and obviously the keeper's well over to the left hand side as he's looking. And yeah, it caught me by surprise. He's hit it, gone for the near post, and if it weren't for the athleticism of their keeper, who I think's a quality keeper, by the way, Victor Hansen, I'm surprised he's still at Rotherham, to be honest. Maybe he's going to go in the summer, but yeah, he got across, and it was going to sneak in that near post, weren't it?
It was, yeah. And do you know what? He might not have even, I think, was it the shape of the team where I thought his deliveries from some of free kicks yesterday were fantastic, by the way. Obviously, the offside goal and stuff, but I think that everybody expected him to put it in box, even probably the rest of the team did, but he saw opportunity, and it were, you know, if it had been another 5 yards further forward, the keeper wouldn't have got to there, because he fair whipped it in. So yeah, inventive, caught him out. I think Will Volks seemed really up for it yesterday as well.
Do you think that comes with a bit of confidence? I don't want to say swagger, because I don't think a team that's 23rd can have a bit of swagger, but the fact that we have been winning games of late, and the fact that, you know, at that point we were on top. Do you think if we're not winning games, do you think he tries that or not?
I don't know. I think listening to his pre-match interview, I think somebody asked him that he hadn't scored for 12 months. Obviously, it was against his old team. And then he might have just thought, I'm going to hit this because keeper's out. I can ping this in. And he were, like I said, I think he were really up for it yesterday because it were against Rotherham and he wanted that goal. So maybe he just wanted that goal, but yeah, didn't quite, but good effort for, I think, caught everybody by surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been class if it had gone in, to be honest, because it would have been in one of those goals that you're like, it's gone in. No, you know, not really knowing how it's happened and everything. Let's talk about this disallowed goal then. Akin Famiro gets on the end of a Will Volks cross. By the way, before we talk about the absolutely ridiculous decision to disallow it, that the movement from Famiro, you know, he starts off well onside, and to get, you know, the ball in with fantastics, it evades everyone, and to, you know, to run, get on the end of it. I mean, that's all he needed to do, to be honest, because the ball had all the pace on it. He just needed to direct it in. Keeper had absolutely no chance as well. And, you know, it was a great finish, weren't it?
Yeah, I touched on it last week about us not scoring from set players and corners and stuff. And I was more pleased that we scored from something like that. You know, ball in box, defender heads it in, you know, 1-0. And then they stopped celebrating straight away, and I thought, what is going on offside? And then they play it replay, and I'm like, no way. I think he's still 3 yards onside when he scored.
Yeah.
It's like, unbelievable decision. But yeah, great delivery from Volks, good header. And like you say, I bet you were going mental in that away and briefly cut your celebration short.
Yeah, I were, but Steve Oagui, he saw it straight away. I'd not seen the flag at all. He's like, it's disallowed. And then as in real time, I'm probably thinking, yeah, maybe he has gone a little bit too early. But all you see is kind of three or four Wednesday players, you know, all in that same area. And obviously, I knew Famiro had headed it in. Probably mainly because of he were leading the celebrations as he scored. But, you know, you said he noticed it straight away. He were running towards the lino, who obviously had his flag up, which is why they saw it. But kind of in real time, I'm probably thinking maybe he could have been offside, you know, in terms of, because I know you said he was still onside when he headed it, but you think like he did get a bit of a march on him. But that's just because he gave himself a bit of a head start to get there. And when the ball's kicked, he's a good 2 or 3 yards onside. Like maybe not quite yards, but he's a couple of feet onside when the ball gets kicked. And I think, I mean, it don't matter in the end, does it? Because we've won the game 1-0.
No, it done.
Had we not won the game, it's a massive turning point in the game.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's a mistaken identity. I think Iheanacho was slightly offside when ball's being kicked initially. Whether he's thinking he scored or what, I don't know. But that's my only sort of thought process in regards to why he's given it. And yeah, like you say, these these games are made on these decisions. We spoke last week about that referee last week who did made some really good decisions and had a good game. But, you know, I can understand the logistics with VAR, and I'm not particularly a massive fan of VAR, but if that's a VAR decision, that's a goal every day of the week.
Well, to be fair, that is a perfect advocate for VAR, isn't it? Because in my understanding is VAR were brought in to overturn clear and obvious mistakes. Now, that goal being ruled out yesterday was a clear and obvious mistake. So that for me, that's what it should be used for. I don't want fucking drawing lines on pitch and what have you. I mean, we can talk about VAR another time. It's another topic. I just think 10 or 15 seconds, if you cannot come up with a decision in 10 or 15 seconds from looking at on a video, it ain't clear and obvious, and just go with whatever the referee said on the pitch. So if we looked at that and gone, can't really tell, like straight away, don't fucking draw lines on pitch. Just go, what did Lino think? Well, he thought you're offside. Right, it's offside then. And then just go, what? Because it's not about like trying to find. So I think sometimes when you watch the Premier League, they're trying to find something to disallow the goal, and that's not really there. But when I mean, it was only at half time when I kind of watched, and I know you put the little videos on, and it was at that point when I kind of looked at it and I kind of stopped it as he kicked it, and I'm like, you can't really tell who it is, but everyone's on side, like as the ball gets kicked. And I wouldn't say we're fuming, because we were massively on top of the game. If that's against Leicester, you know, and we're getting hammered, and then we score a goal that gets choked off, I probably feel a little bit different. But the fact that we were on top, I was like, I think we can still do it. But it still didn't sit right at all, really. And I think you're right. It's probably just a case of mistaken identity. And we weren't finished there with the chances in the first half, though, because Poveda had one. You know, we spoke about the little magician last week, and we've already spoke about him already today. I thought he had, you know, an excellent first half, and he just gets to that byline with ease. I don't just mean in this instance; I mean, just every single game. Like he's got the knack of and those tricky feet that players can't touch him, because they know that as soon as they go in to dive in, he's gone and he's gone past you. He's that good. You know what? Someone behind me was saying, it just shows you how good, you know, was it Willie Notto and whoever else Leeds have got, how good they must be for Poveda not even to get a sniff at Leeds. Like, it just shows how much better they are. But yeah, he got to the byline. I thought he was going to stand it up, very much like, you know, the goal that we scored against Bristol City, but it shows he's not just a one-trick pony, is he? Because he cut inside, and from where I was stood, it looked like it were very close, but it just flashed past that left-hand post, didn't it?
Yeah, it was close. And like you say, like you've just said then, I think he's comfortable on both sides. Like, he dinked one with his right foot to back post last week against Bristol City. He's obviously his left foot favourable, but I think he just tried to hit it a little bit too hard, if I'm honest. And he's got that bit of whip on it, but if it had just taken a little bit of pepper off it, it would have been because keeper were nowhere. But he's getting close to his goal. I think, I know how, looking at him celebrating other people's goals and end of game, if he scores, he's going to go mental. But he's very, I thought he's there. I think someone put up on Twitter his post afterwards saying Rugby Union FC or something, because he were getting kicked and pulled left, right and centre. And
he looked like he'd been playing for Dog and Duck, because he would just mud from top to bottom. I mean, I normally don't like the players that have the socks rolled down and everything, you know, very Jack Grealish-esque. I normally think, no, I'm very traditional, me. Shirt tucked in, socks pulled right up, and everything else. But football fans are fickle, and I'm one of those, because it can wear no socks for me.
He's only got junior socks on anyway.
Yeah, he's only slight, you know. He's we don't need to wax lyrical about him. We all know what we think of Jan Poveda, or Ian Poveda, as obviously all the away commentators.
Don't fall in love with a lone player, James. You know these rules.
We do it every time, don't we? We do it every single time. There's always at least one that we have to fall in love with. And we spoke on the debate show in midweek how, you know, we need to sign him. Like we just need to go and sign him. But unfortunately, he's put himself in that shop window, hasn't he? You know, other clubs will be looking at him and thinking, you know, we need to pick him up. Maybe he doesn't like, hopefully, he doesn't like travelling too far, and he can stay, because I'm sure he's probably just staying where he's been staying whilst he's been at Leeds, and hopefully he gets a bit travel sick, and he doesn't want to travel too far. And I can't really see Barnsley being a team that's going to snap Jan Pavada up, to be honest. Yeah,
that's true.
Half time, I mean, there was another chance. I think Masaba had a shot that went over the bar with a good deflection. But let's just skip ahead to half time. What did you think? Because for me, as much as I've just said that it would come in and we were creating a lot of chances, is that thing in the back of your mind thinking it had all the hallmarks of Rotherham going down the other end and nicking a goal and it being a frustrating 1-0 defeat?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, we should have been 3 or 4 nil up at half time, or at least a couple of goals to up, and obviously having that one rolled out. But I didn't actually, on that first half performance, I thought, no, we're not going to lose this game. We're not going to lose this game. So obviously we expected Rotherham to come out second half, and they, to be honest, I think they huffed and puffed a little bit. I don't think they had any real major chances. Maybe the one towards the end, when Bannon's cleared off the line, but they kind of huffed and puffed, really. So, yeah, professional performance in second half for me. Got the goal nice, a good time as well.
Yeah, just on Rotherham, what did you think to him? Because I'm not just saying this. I thought they were absolutely awful. I thought they were dreadful.
Yeah.
Like, they were going for long ball, which... Mm. Maybe that's their. I think that is their style. I think they are. When you look at how direct a team is, you know, which is, you know, going from front to back, they do it in the least amount of passes and the quickest as possible. I don't mean it's very effective because it comes straight back. But you just, you know, I thought we dealt with it well, and they just didn't have. I thought there was a lot. They made a lot of mistakes. Balls going out of play. Miscontrolling the ball. I don't know whether that's just down to a confidence thing or ability. I don't watch enough for Rotherham to be able to make a comment on that. But just from that showing there, I know we've got to take credit for making them look like that, I guess. But it's no surprise that they're sat with 19 points, because it would just it just felt too easy, especially in that first half. Which obviously we've been talking about, and yeah, I just couldn't see, as much as I've just said, I thought Rotherham were going to nick a goal. Like, I couldn't see them scoring. They didn't even have a shot on target in the first half. Like, I feel for the Rotherham fans a little bit. Like, I mean, to watch that week in, week out, it's almost like us in the first 10 games, but for the full duration of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, don't remind me of the first 10 games. But, I think they were poor. I think second half, like I said, I think they huffed and puffed. I don't really think they created that many chances, if any at all. I can't remember Beadle making a direct save as such. I think the best chance that they had were that free kick that Cafu took, and that Hugel, or whatever his goal, it hit him on the head and went wide. But that Cafu were making me... chuckled to myself, because he had two or three free kicks and he were taking these measured paces like as if he were Cristiano Ronaldo. And then his delivery were absolutely shocking. And I thought, who's he think he is, this bloke? I mean, he's got, obviously, you link him to Cafu from
the... Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them, honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
The famous Brazilian, but like, he's more like cat poo than anything.
Yeah, he's not. I've never even heard of him. I don't even know where he's from. I'm gonna have a look if he actually played for any decent sides. Let's have a look. Olympiacos. He was at Forest. He was at Forest in between 21 and 23. He's played for Vitória Guimarães. Is that the team that Semedo were from?
Portuguese team. I don't know. But yeah, he just made me laugh when he was lining up these free kicks as if he were going to, you know, rattle it in the top bins like Ronaldo. And then he kind of missed it, that one that hit Hugel on the head. Yeah. I think that were their sort of most dangerous chance.
They had one that just went over the bar, didn't they? A right footed shot that, you know, looked like it were close, but Beadle probably had it covered. And then, I mean, we might as well talk about this because we've come on to it, but Bannon with that stop off the line, I thought that were in. I thought they'd scored at that point. Either that or I thought it was going to be an own goal. But Bannon just...
Brilliant.
That's what you get from Barry Bannon, isn't it? 110% effort, right place, right time, doing it like, you know, he bleeds blue and white and he'll do everything in his powers to help us stay up. And I thought that when we'd scored by that point, and I just thought, this is it. 1-1.
I mean, to be honest, I know that Bannon has his... For some reason, some fans criticise him because he's getting a bit older. But I thought yesterday he was everything, like the heartbeat of the team. Yeah, not necessarily the go-to, obviously, because we've got a bit of Pervada magic coming through now. But I think just his energy. I think at one point he was the furthest man forward, running after Gaper to put him under pressure. His energy, his all-round game. And when I'm saying that, for, I don't know, is he 34, 35 almost? His defensive, obviously, he's cleared it off the line within the six-yard box, but then the next minute he's up at the other end. So his all-round game yesterday, I thought, just in sense of that leadership and that, like you said, bleed blue and white, I thought him and Palmer yesterday were fantastic because they get it. And I think he sort of ran off, didn't he, after a game towards supporters and give him the, you know, punch in the air and stuff, saying get in there, because he does bleed blue and white. He's been there a long time. He gets it. But yesterday, I thought, you know, his defensive and offensive work rate was, you know, a proper leader yesterday. I certainly single him out yesterday.
34 years old, Barry Bannon is. 1st of December 1989 is when he's going to turn 35. Just a couple of months older than me. Certainly
had a little bit younger than me, that's all I know.
Certainly had a better career than I've had anyway. let's talk about the goal then. Lovely, intricate passing around the box. Ugbo, Bannon, Gassama as well, all working well. It's funny because just as the ball comes across, obviously, I think, you know, We've got it into a good area. We pass it around the edge of the box. I'm shouting shoo. You know, I'm thinking that Bannon's going to let fly, but the pass that comes across, it comes onto his right foot, and he has to kind of readjust and control it again. And I say, oh, Bannon's not got a right foot, has he? And then we kind of a couple of passes later, Gassama then slips Iofra in, and I go, he has, though. Iofa, he's just come on as well only a couple of minutes before. He's bombing down that right-hand side. And then the pass in for Ugbo. The movement, again, I've said this a few times already. I think it was it the Birmingham game where he had some excellent movement. But if you watch him, he gets in between the two defenders, first and foremost. That's deliberate. Mm. You know, the defender's on him. He kind of moves out of the way, gets in between the two defenders, and then he knows when that ball's going to come across because he makes a run, you know, to meet the ball. The defender has to go across the, you know, to block that cross that's coming across the six-yard box. If it does, it's pulled back, and then, yeah, like I said at the top, he ain't going to miss one chance. He did, but he's certainly not going to miss two chances from that distance. And yeah, six goals in five games, like, it's mental, isn't it? He can't stop scoring.
No, that's it. And it was a really well-worked goal, like you say. I think it sort of popped out on the left side and they reworked it across Bannon on his right foot, as you rightly said. Oh, he catch you. And then it were, I think he played it into Masaba, out to Gassama, into Dom. And those are the two substitutes. You brought them on 2 minutes earlier, which, you know, to be honest, I thought that, I don't know if we touch on the subs, but I thought they were a bit strange. But
yeah, we'll talk about that in a second, that, yeah.
You can't say that they didn't work because Gassama's played Dom in. Like you said, good movement from Ugbo, knows where to be, very similar to that goal he scored of the week. But again, training ground goal, if you like, Ugbo scores again. Like he's just on fire. And yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. It's been studying the ground. I didn't know who'd scored. Obviously, until we, you know, until this we start singing the Ugbo song, I didn't really care. Yeah. I didn't really care who'd scored. If I'm honest as well, when it goes in, there is a bit of trepidation. You know, when you've had one goal that's been choked off and you've made yourself look like an absolute idiot, you don't want the same thing to happen again. So it goes in and I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a bit subdued in my celebrations. There were other people that weren't subdued. It went absolutely mental in that away end, you know, especially where I were. I'm sure it was the same across the whole, across that whole stand. Rotherham fans got face on big time. You know, they were they didn't like it. I mean, why are you gonna like it? But coppers had to start running into that home end and everything else, which, you know, it's just funny, isn't it? When you're winning and they're losing, it's just funny. Yeah, I'm getting Kenwyn Jones vibes from Ike Ugbo. Not the way he plays, not his celebrations, nothing like that. Just the fact that, you know, Kenwyn Jones had, seven goals in six games. It was 7-7, but he actually didn't score in his last game. So it was, you know, let's say it was 7-6. He's now 6-5, so he's not far off. I know he's played eight games in all competitions, or nine games in all competitions, I think, Ugbo. But if we're just talking about, you know, the games since he scored his first, 6-5, and he's, you know, Kenwyn Jones, when he came, it was fantastic. It was so short, weren't it? It was like a month loan from Southampton, scored pretty much every single game that he played in, and it does feel like that's Ike Ugbo at the moment.
Yeah, and you know, I think we've won every. I think we might have won every game that he scored in as well. So that's another thing that's been positive. But yeah, I remember the Kenwyn Jones 7-7, and that was when we got promoted last time from League One. But scoring the goals, getting in the right areas. He's obviously he's probably a massive confidence player. You know, he came from Cardiff, and I've got a mate who supports Cardiff. He says, "Oh yeah, he's lazy. He don't really work hard. Can't see him scoring many goals." But you know, he fits in. And to me, I think we mentioned before previously about him. He might not have been the number one target for Danny Roll to bring in. We'll never know that, but obviously he's a Danny Roll signing, as so is Perveda, and these boys are now doing the business for him. So, you know, credit to Danny Roll in that regards of identifying him and knowing that he can adapt to his philosophies and the way that he plays. So, yeah.
Would you sign him on a permanent basis then? He's 25 years old. I mean, I'm just looking on Transfer Market. He apparently went for €3 million back in 22 from Genk to the side that he's at now, which is Troyes. He went for €3.5 million from Chelsea's under 23s to Genk before that. That's Euros, by the way. He's under contract until the summer of 2026, so he's still got a couple of years left on his contract. Would you sign him? I mean, I know it's probably a bit of a silly question because, you know, when he's the only player that's scoring goals for you, then I suppose the obvious answer is probably say yes, but what would you do?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously depending on where we are in terms of as league position and whatever, what league we're in next year, massive factor. But again, right age for me, 24, 25, whatever he is, Masaba. Played with Masaba before. I think their connection's really good. I think Masaba's 22, right kind of age for us players moving forward. Danny Roll kind of signing. So, yeah, if you ask me now, silly question indeed, especially with 16-5, but yes is the answer. But it's all about where we are next season and what backing Danny Rowe gets.
Yeah.
In regards to any sort of signings, really.
I think we were talking about this on the debate show as well, about, you know, signings, loan signings that we've made permanent. I think it was... I can't really think of one, but Reece James, obviously we made that permanent, didn't we, this season? It's probably because it's not really worked out for him this year versus last. Going back, I think Daniel Padil was another one that we, back in 2015-16, that we had him on loan initially and signed him on a permanent. I go back to Mikel Antonio, he's another one that we did the same, but there hasn't been many, have we, that we've made permanent. And I'm surprised, really, because it's not that every loan signing's not worked, but then I suppose, really, I guess there's a massive factor in with the club that it's come from. You know, that if they're just letting a player go out to gain some game time, which, you know, especially happens at those players that are a little bit younger, then you know it doesn't.
Yeah,
they go back to their club that they've been at. Whereas if it's just because they're out of favour, then yeah, they look to sign them, and then maybe we're not in that position to spend the money that they're wanting, you know. But no, I would certainly, based on what I've seen at the moment, he's just clinical. And his work rate, I think, goes a little bit unnoticed. Especially yesterday, there were times where he's chasing down they're trying to break down, you know, whichever side it is, especially down the, you know, their right, our left in the second half. And you see him, he's absolutely busting a gut just to close them down and put a bit of pressure on, which as a striker, that's something that, you know, not many strikers do.
Yeah, and I think yesterday as well, he kind of had to deal with a different opposition in the sense that it was Rugby Union FC, if you like. And I think that's why he kept him on when he brought Smith on. He's kept Ugbo on for that, you know, in them pockets in that 10 space, because then Smith, I mean, we all know that Smith gets mugged every week when he plays up front, because, you know, he's a bit of a unit himself. But I think Ugbo yesterday showed a different side of him, where defenders were kind of trying to mug him, really. And it didn't really sort of find them opportunities as much. But going back to that opportunities as well, he's like, I think he only had that two chances yesterday, one on target, which were blocked by a defender, other one he's putting back at net. So his chance to goal ratio, given his fact that he hit the post a couple of times in his first few games, and then chances, I think we touched on it last week, where I think he came out with some shots and goals ratio that he's got. His conversion rate is quite, you know, pretty decent, to be honest.
Yeah, he doesn't need many, does he? He doesn't need many chances. We said we're going to talk about them subs. We made subs on 63 and 64 minutes. Smith, Gassama and Iorfa were the three that came on to replace Volks, Perveda and Valentin. Yeah, when Perveda came off, I was scratching my head a little bit thinking, like, whenever you take your perceived best player off, I'm always like, what are you doing? Like, why is he coming off? I think, you know, Steve Owagui made a great point that in the second half, it wasn't as effective as in the first. And I think sometimes, you know, clearly Danny Rill, we changed the system, you know, Ugbo dropped in that 10 role and everything else. And, you know, he's come out and explained himself, which is nice and refreshing to see. But yeah, on the face of it, initially, were you like me a bit perplexed?
I think I put on Twitter, I went, oh, they're strange substitutes. And then obviously I got flooded with messages afterwards saying, oh, it worked though. Like Paul Valentin for Dom, you can kind of understand that anyway. I think Dom explained after the game about they just needed a bit more height and stuff in the defence, which is fair. But yeah, taking Perveda off, and Will Volks, to be honest. I thought Volks really had an excellent first half yesterday. He seemed up for it. He obviously went close with his free kick. He was putting tackles in, you know, that shithousery that he does every week. He was there. But I think, you know, when I thought about it afterwards as well, a good call in a sense, because he was just getting a little bit frustrated with Volks, and he might have been on close to a booking or a sending off, which we didn't need, obviously, because then you're up against it. So, you know, fair play to Roll. And I think one thing that he's shown throughout the course of him being with us is that he's not afraid to roll the dice and make them changes, because he's very analytical, and he's probably gone, like you've said, everyone's probably surprised that Pervada came off, but he weren't really in that second half when you think about it afterwards. So as a coach, he's got to go, right, well, this is not working and this is not working. And overall, it was still 0-0. I want to win this game. We need to win this game. So, yeah. At the time, I'm going, oh, they're... At the time, I'm like, oh, they're strange choices. But then Gassama and Iorfa combined for the goal in 2 minutes later, and then I've got egg on my face. But, you know, that's all right.
Yeah, it is very... I know I've already referenced Championship Manager, Football Manager, but it feels very much like that when you're playing that game and you make the subs and then they both come by. You think you're an absolute tactical genius. You know, you think you're the messiah. You're like, and I'm sure Danny Rill would be thinking himself exactly the same. He's thinking, yeah, I've made them subs. They both come by and got the goal. Nobody can touch me kind of thing. and everything else.
But yeah, and he touched on it afterwards, didn't he? In an interview, he actually said, you know, you've got to make them calls as a coach. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. And it did. So, you know, fair play to him. At least he's brave enough to make them calls as well.
Yeah, right. Before we touch on the three-word match review, I'm just looking at the league table. It's mad at the moment. These three teams on 38 points. Two teams on 39, one team on 40, so they're 3, 4, and 5 points ahead of us at the moment, and that takes you up to 16th in the league. I mean, that's just mental in itself, how kind of concertinaed it's gone. And, I mean, the team that's 5 points away from us is Plymouth, and we take Plymouth on Tuesday, which we'll talk about in a second. So that gap could be 2 to them if we beat them on Tuesday night. It's mental how we've won 3 games on the spin. First time that we've done that all season in the league, that is, by the way, because we have actually done it in all competitions earlier on. But yeah, 3 wins on the spin. You've already said earlier we've not moved from being 23rd, but it could be, you know, 2 of any of the teams from 16th down to 23rd that could get relegated.
No, it's crazy. I mean, obviously, we've said about us, we're still winning and them teams are winning. We're still second bottom. We keep saying this, you know, this euphoria, all these wins and these celebrations, which is fantastic, and this togetherness. We're still second bottom in the league. We're still not out of that safety. Now we've got 10 games left, is it? 11 games? 11 games left. You know, time's kind of ticking away. The season's getting shorter and shorter in terms of games. But yeah, the amount of teams, even despite the results yesterday that didn't necessarily go for us, the amount of teams that have been dragged into it, you know, Blackburn, even Plymouth on 40 points, they're not out of it, are they? Like you say, if we beat them in the midweek, we're only 2 points behind them, and they're 15th, 16th in league. So yeah, crazy league. But and I said last week it's going to go to the wire. Next couple of games this week, especially with them being both home games, again another massive week.
Yeah, I think they're all massive, aren't they? When you look at it, I'm not going to look at any game from now until the end of the season in the position that we're in and not say it's a huge game. And you know, people are going to say, oh, we're going to lose at some point. Maybe that defeat's going to come on Friday when we play Leeds, and then it's Ipswich the week after that. But when I look at it all, and I'm just glad that there's more than one team in it, if you know what I mean. I'd be a bit more nervous if it's say just Huddersfield that you're chasing, and then, because you know, not I know the vast majority of them did win at the weekend, but they didn't all win. So. And I was quite impressed with the kind of positive spin that Danny Rill put on it, which, yes, it's annoying. We've won a game, and so has everyone else. But what are they going to be thinking? Like, you know, what are QPR have just gone to Leicester, beat Leicester 2-1, and then they look and they go, fucking hell, you know, all the other teams behind us have won. We're no further forward. You know, they're no further forward than us. The gap is still exactly the same. You know, the gap's still what, 3 points between us and them, and they'll feel like they've got the biggest win, you know, win of their lives. I know it all comes, you know, swings and roundabouts. We lost to we lost to Leicester, so the fact that they've beat them, you could say they've got 3 points on us, certainly in that fixture. But no, I was quite impressed with that little positive spin that that he put on it. Right, let's do the three word match reviews then. I'll read. What was your three word match review then? Just out of interest.
Oh, do you know what? I can't remember. I've only had 3 hours sleep since then.
Right, I'll read some. Maybe I'll come across it when we're staying up is what you put, Neil.
Oh, there you go. That's it.
Andy said Ugbo Ballon d'Or. Paul Pashley not going down. Nick, Rotherham were shite. Yeah, I agree. We said that already. Yeah. Sean's gone with Miller's just mullered. Haseeb gone for Sir Danny Roll. Paul Richardson, brilliant 3 points. Adam gone for EK Ugbo. So good they named him twice. David's gone for needed the win. Yeah, 100%. Like I said, I think we need every single win from now. Dave O's gone with Toy Town fans crying. Dick Kevin said 9 off 12. 9 points off 12. Don't get that one. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, it's true, but it's not four three words, is it? John, keep it going. Dave, Ugbo once again, and I'll read one more out. Alan's gone with go sausage roll. Yeah, it's brilliant. Right, let's. I'm going to touch on a few of the players. Not necessarily this performance, because you know he only had one save to make. But you know, Beadle's now 4 clean sheets in 8 games, which I think is the most out of any goalkeeper so far this season, certainly for us anyway. 8 games, he's had 9 goals conceded. I mean, 4 of those did come in 1 game. What have you made of Beadle's contribution? Because again, you know, he's come in and we have had that upturn in form. I know I mentioned about Ugbo and Poveda, are they the difference makers? But I must admit, I do think the defence does look a lot more solid, and it's not been the same. You know, I know we only made one change last time, but it has been different people playing in that back line, hasn't it? But you know, we seem to be certainly a lot more solid anyway.
Yeah, I think, I mean, and you've got to remember, he's only 19. Is this kid? He's not even played at this level, has he, in Championship? He's obviously hit Oxford before or stuff like that. But yeah, I think he's growing in the confidence. You can see that technically he's better than Dawson. He's playing a bit longer as well. So he's improving in that. He even caught a couple of crosses yesterday, which I'm quite impressed with, which I were a bit apprehensive about that. But I think overall, in terms of like goalkeepers, whoever it is, it doesn't really matter. If that goalkeeper is confident and can do the things that's required, it gives the defence that confidence, you know, to play that ball back or if he's... obviously, you can't sort of hear everything on the TV screens and not necessarily at the ground. You don't know how much instructions he's giving to the defence as
there
well.
There was one bit. There was a free kick that they had, and Beadle wanted 3 men in the wall. He only got 2. Now, I don't know if, you know, if that was a Westwood, if he wants 3 men in wall, he gets 3 men in wall. Do you know what I mean? And he was asking for 3. There was only Bannon, and I can't remember who the other one was that stood in the wall, but nobody else came across. And it was, you know, maybe that's it. You know, yes, kind of assert himself a little bit. And in my head, as that free kick were being played out, I kind of thought, is that he needs to just forget about that, and that, you know, that can't play on his mind, you know, because I know for me, myself, if I'm going like 3, I'd be getting myself worked up in that moment, and then perhaps like just, you know, focusing on that, like, oh, why is he not 3 minute wall, and then, oh shit, like something's happened. As it happened, it didn't, you know, nothing came of it, and it were fine. But on the, you know, there was an instance where the ball got played back to him, and their striker tried to close him down. I think it was can't remember who it was. Anyway, they closed him down, and all he did, he just put his laces through it and cleared it. Now,
yeah,
against Leicester, I think there was a pass on. I mean, he could have gone left or right with the ball. He didn't. He just thought, I'm just going to lump it. I think the ball went straight out of play, but he got rid of it. And you've got to say that in that instance, he learned from his mistakes, because he would, he would have played a pass.
Yeah, there's a time and a place to play out or play that intricate movements, which we all want. Well, Danny Rowe wants the goalkeepers to do, but there's a time where you just need to, kick it forward.
Get it forward. Yeah. No, but I feel like if we criticise, because we did criticise him in the Leicester game. You know, we said and I think if you do criticise, you've got to give the credit when he's done something different and not made that mistake.
And that's obviously being taken on board. And I think he's a massive combination of everything. Obviously, four clean sheets he's kept in those eight games, etc. And again, I don't know if you've got it down as a player review, and we spoke about Iheanacho last week.
Yeah.
His organisation skills in front of Beadle will give him the confidence. It's improving Deshaun Bernard, it's improving these players. Like, I don't think the actual impact Iheanacho's had on the team in the last 6 weeks can be underestimated, because earlier on in the season, he wasn't playing. Everyone was saying, why ain't he playing? And Sisko and then Danny Roll continued with Bambo until he got suspended, and now Bambo can't get back in. And I can understand it, because Iheanacho, as much as he lacks that pace and stuff, the extra stuff he gives the team is vital. And I think that is actually a combination factor, along with the other things that we've spoken about in the upturn in the form. I think Iheanacho has been, a solid leader in that defence and organiser. So yeah, that certainly helps Beadle.
Yeah. Michael Iheanacho, so, yeah. I think you're 100% correct. And I feel like a broken record when I keep saying that every side needs a Michael Iheanacho in there. I mean, the game yesterday, 5 aerial duels won, most out of any player on the pitch. 4 interceptions as well. That, again, the most out of any player. He just does the simple stuff very, very well, and he's not gonna get the ball down and start spraying the passes around and everything else. But you don't need that. You've got another 9 players on the pitch, or 10 players, even Beadle that can do that. You don't need everyone to do it. And yeah, you're right. He's played the last 4 games. The full 90 minutes. He played a little bit in the Birmingham game, but last 4 in particular. Yeah, all right. We lost against Leicester, and then we've had 3 wins on the bounce, and he's played all 90 minutes. He didn't play. He played the first 2 games, and then he was out for quite a while, out of the squad totally. So he's stuck by his task. He's been round the block, hasn't he? How old is he? 31 years old now. So he knows he's probably had times in his career where he's not played, but he's stuck to task. He's come back in when he's been needed. And he's played himself back into the team, I think.
Absolutely.
Danny Rill now would go, I want Michael Iheanacho to start, and I do as well. I want Michael Iheanacho to keep playing, and yeah, that leadership that he gives, the communication as well, I think is absolutely vital. And he won pretty much everything yesterday. It's no surprise that he won the most headers out of that game yesterday, because he gets ball and man every time, and it's just a crunching header and just does what he needs to do. It's fantastic. Let's talk about the next game then coming up. Plymouth, I'm not going to lie, didn't know who their manager was. I knew it weren't Schumacher, because he'd gone to Stoke, I want to say. But yeah, I had to look who their manager was. Ian Foster is. He was at England under 18, 19 and 20s, as in managing them. He wasn't playing for them. he actually played most of his football at non-league level, to be honest. Then he went to, he went to Al Etifak with Gerrard. And then now he's got his first gig as a first-team manager, first-team whatever you want to call them, coach. Sometimes call them coaches, don't they? But anyway, whatever he is, he's in charge at Plymouth. Their form, his form, since he's come in, he came in
5th of January, I think it was. 12 games, 4 wins, 3 draws and 5 defeats. They've only got one win in the last 6. Lost 2-0 at Ipswich last time out this weekend. They've only had 2 wins away from home. So pretty poor away record, very much like us. But those 2 wins did come in their last 3 away games, Swansea and Middlesbrough. What's your thoughts on this game on Tuesday? Again, I know we said massive game, but it's certainly a game that we can go there and we shouldn't be fearful of Plymouth at all, should we?
No, absolutely not. Obviously, a massive game. It's an understatement in that regards. But we've just got to keep doing what we're doing, ultimately. I think our own form has been very good. Danny Rowe speaks towards that as well with the supporters and stuff. So, I'm confident that we can certainly get 3 points in the week against Plymouth. I think it's vital that we do get the 3 points. I know we keep saying that, but games are running out and we've just got to keep that momentum that we've built up over the last 4 or 5 games and that performance level. And I think if we do that, then we get the 3 points. So, yeah, certainly midweek Plymouth, I'm confident of a 3-point return in that one.
Yeah, you talked about home form. 17 games, 6 wins, 4 draws, 7 defeats. Puts us 16th in terms of points won at home. I might as well talk about the away form. I know this game is at home, but we're no longer one of the worst teams away from home with that win. We've actually gone... He's got 4 wins now, 1 draw, 13 defeats. Still doesn't look great. But Plymouth and Birmingham both have a worse away record. But yeah, this one's at Hillsborough. 2 games back-to-back at Hillsborough, Plymouth and Leeds. But for me, I think you're right. We've just got to carry on doing what we're doing. Stick to his principles. We're in form. We are a form side at the moment. We've got to take that confidence. Just kind of forget where we are in the league and just, it's the whole cliche, isn't it? Take every game as it comes, you know, don't look at and going, you know, oh, 3 wins on the bounce, can we make it 4? It's just, can we just win this next game against Plymouth? Would you make any changes? And I suppose Bernard, he'll be back, you know, he served his 1 game suspension from that red card. Do you put Deshaun Bernard straight back in? I'm saying you'd have to say it's for Maywo, but would you do that, or would you just stick with what we had this week?
I think he comes back in. He's been really consistent. He's that ball playing centre back that he wants. It'd be a bit harsh on Firmino in some regards because I thought he played well yesterday, but I think he does come back in, and to me that'd be the only change because again, don't upset the apple cart as they say. We've been consistent; those players have been performing, and the advantage that Danny Rowe's got is that on that 60-minute mark, he's got players that he can change and bring on and add that extra injection if needs be, and. Just mentioning, I know we spoke about players, but for me, Liam Palmer yesterday, right centre-back, last couple of games has been great. Yesterday, they took Will Voggs off, they stuck him into midfield. In the first half, Palmer got a knock and it looked like Bambo were warming up to come on for him, but he pushed through it. And again, you know, that's that resilience that Palmer, I think you mentioned last week, that is a constant 7 out of 10. But yesterday, he's played 2 different positions, and he's played the 90 minutes and he's done everything right. So I think Dish probably comes back in for Maywo in my eyes. And then the rest of it sort of looks after itself in some regards. And then you've still got that strong bench to come on and influence the game, whether we consolidate in a lead or we're chasing the game like we did yesterday. He made them changes. So
yeah,
nothing changes for me.
Go on then, let's look at how you think that game's going to go on Tuesday. What do you think the score's going to be on Tuesday? Do you think we're going to get another win? Is it going to be 4 wins on the spin?
Yes, 100% yes. I'm going to go yes. And I think Plymouth's form is obviously inconsistent. Their away form's not good, as you've touched on. So I'm going to go 2-0.
2-0
win.
Well, I said 4-0, didn't I, for... for the game of the weekend, which didn't quite go according to plan. It was still a win, of course.
It should have,
to be fair. I think it's going to be a bit more difficult. You know, I know they're not in great form, Plymouth, but it's not going to be a walkover. I've got to say that we're going to win. I can't see us not winning. I'm going to go for 2-1, I think it's going to be. I think we are going to concede a goal. But we're gonna get the better of Plymouth and get another win, and fingers crossed, please let's just get out of this relegation. So I don't think we are with the goal difference as of yet, but certainly we could be level with the teams above us, and fingers crossed we do. Neil, thank you very much for coming on, mate. Do really appreciate it. We've enjoyed it again.
Yeah, loved it, mate. Happy to help out any time, and if it fits in with your little and getting up there, so be it. But yeah, 2 out of 2 for me. Two out of two for me so far, so 100% record.
There's been no whinging, there's been no complaining or talking about how shit we've been. It's all been quite easy and everything on it, to be honest. So yeah, if we carry on winning, you can keep going on, mate, as far as I'm concerned. Right.
Fair enough. No, appreciate having me on again, James, accommodating the time difference. And I'm going to go and crack open another beer while you go and probably have another cup of tea.
Yeah, exactly. Right, massive thanks everyone that's been listening. Do really appreciate it. We'll also be back next week. Also, you know, join us on Wednesday. We do the debate show live on YouTube Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Obviously, we'll be talking about the Plymouth game. Fingers crossed, we are going to be getting 3 points and 4 wins on the spin. So do join us. If you want to have more content, then head over to patreon.com/WTRDpod. Extra time this week is me speaking to some of the fans from the teams that are down there at the bottom, getting their thoughts on how they feel they're going to, you know, finish at the end of the season, who they think they're going to go down. Did speak to them just before the game yesterday, so do bear that one in mind. But if you want to listen to all that, head over to patreon.com/WTIDpod. Again, thank you very much, and we'll see you all next time. Cheers, guys.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Open them up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.